Welcome back in on The Point. Thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday. Really appreciate you joining and being a part of The Point family. Looking forward to this segment. Been looking forward to it actually for a couple days since we got it all set up, because I like things that impact us here in the state but are also significantly important across the country. And my next guest who's going to join us here on the program is a guy that's basically been all over the country talking all about this, and he's here in South Carolina today actually getting in front of our General Assembly to try and make a case. It's about debanking, and it's about legislation that is going on, and I want to welcome in and hear from Americans for Free Markets' own David Ibsen, who joins us now to talk about it. David, a pleasure to have you on. I appreciate what you're doing and your efforts, and I thank you for making time for me today.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So here's what I need to do right up front, because I always want to make sure that one, I'm giving the very most up-to-date information, and I know that today you actually got in front of the General Assembly and had a chance to speak for the Senate, but I want to make sure that you're talking to me, and I don't say this to be disrespectful to myself or self-deprecating. I really just talk to me like a third grader on this, because this could get you could get lost in the weeds pretty quickly on just the term debanking legislation, and so I want you to explain the bill itself, the status, and the most important thing right up front is, why do people that are listening here on the radio station care?
Sure. No, happy to do so, Kevin. Thanks again for having me. So, you know, Americans for Free Markets, our interest in this legislative session has been around South Carolina's Guarantee Banking Act. And as you mentioned, I testified in opposition of this bill in the House and submitted testimony against it in the Senate today. And the bill is, it's intended to address what we've seen as a politicized debanking. So individuals losing access to bank services because of disfavored, political or social beliefs, which, you know, seems like a noble intent. The issue that we have, that Americans for Free Markets has, is not with the intent of the bill, but with the instrument of addressing it at the state level, at the South Carolina level. Obviously, we agree that people shouldn't be denied banking services because of their political beliefs. But unfortunately, this is a problem that began and was perpetuated at the federal level under the Obama and Biden administrations, where federal regulators weaponized the financial system against individuals and businesses. And because that happened at the federal level, we think the appropriate response, the best response, also needs to be at the federal level and not taking it to the states at this time.
David, I appreciate you putting it in some basics for us, and I want to learn a little bit more about Americans for Free Markets, because this is an important organization, because it really seems like you guys are there to fight for free market principles, just basic core American free market principles. Is that fair?
That's right. We're a coalition of business and trade and community groups. We work to safeguard free market principles, promote economic growth, and really ensure that the government isn't intruding into private businesses and really into the lives of taxpayers and consumers. So, you know, we advocate for a limited government approach, ending regulatory abuse across key industries, so financial services, banking, energy permitting, trade, artificial intelligence, and many more. So really to focus on the preservation of liberty and on competition, deregulation to empower the free market, empower our economy, so all Americans can prosper.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I've been looking at your website for the last few days since you agreed to come on the program with me, and I've really learned a lot about what you guys are doing, and I want to make sure we direct people on a number of occasions to know what you guys are all about for freemarkets.org, Americans for Free Markets and all. And I want to ask you about today specifically, because this is what is so great to me is to have you here, just within moments after you're sitting there and having a chance to go to our state house and have a chance to talk to senators. But I want to remind folks, there's a federal side to this, and then specifically here in South Carolina, there's a state side here to this. And when we get to the federal side, I want to make sure people realize this is, you're on the same side as President Trump. You're on the same side as Senator Tim Scott. So we'll get to the federal side. But here in South Carolina, David, It's obviously an important issue. So what is really broken with the legislation here? I mean, you mentioned that the intent is good, but what does it do wrong?
It's a great question. So I think the biggest issue, you mentioned the federal and the state separation there. You know, this tries to address banks in South Carolina when really banks are regulated nationally. And so even when you have the intention of stopping an activity that you think affects the people, the taxpayers of South Carolina, you want to make sure that that's being done in a coherent national way that doesn't create additional roadblocks, additional red tape. You don't want 50 different regulatory processes in place that makes it impossible for South Carolina businesses to operate across state lines. So you mentioned us supporting the policy that's coming out of the White House. That's true. And also supporting the policy of South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. They're addressing this issue of debanking at the federal level, at the national level. President Trump put out an executive order. He instructed the federal agencies to issue new rules to stop politicized debanking across the country. Senator Scott is doing something in the Senate that would make, you know, the kind of debanking that we've seen, it would make that unlawful going forward. It would be a permanent solution, right? But in their intent to, I think, stop what's being addressed at the White House, I think that the state Senate is inadvertently creating this dual system of compliance, this dual system of regulatory obligation, where you're going to have South Carolina businesses and banks complying with what's being done at the federal level, and then also trying to comply with what's being done at the state level. So all that extra compliance work and legal work, ironically, is going to create additional roadblocks, additional red tape, additional costs. And because of the additional costs, it will limit access, particularly for the smaller community South Carolina banks. So the effort, which is meant to expand access of banking services to South Carolinians, is actually probably going to restrict it, do the opposite of that. And that's what we're trying to explain to the legislature and to the people of your great state.
If you're just joining us, we're visiting with David Ibsen. He is with Americans for Free Markets, and we're talking about this debanking bill. And this is, again, I'm probably oversimplifying this, David, but it almost sounds like, hey, we're doing this at the federal level. You really don't need to be going there at the state level because, as you noted, as you mentioned, the banks are all FDIC. You know, they're all federal deposit insurance corporation. I mean, I don't understand the need for the act here when you've got this going on at the federal level.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to explain and make clear, is that this really isn't necessary. I mean, we track this issue of fair access across the nation, and we know that serious substantive progress has been made. The president instructed FDIC, the Federal Reserve, the OCC, all these agencies to remove the elements from the supervisory toolkit that allowed, you know, the Obama and Biden administrations to weaponize regulation and deny people services. It's being done. Progress is being made. So this is duplicative. And we point people to other examples where states like Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, that share the kind of, you know, pro-growth, free market, free principle attitude that South Carolina does. And their mode of addressing this has been to pass a resolution deferring to the White House, supporting the efforts of President Trump and Senator Scott, identifying that this is something that will only add complications to the businesses and the customers who are operating in their states. So, you know, there's a way of tackling the debanking issue in the right way. Louisiana is doing it the right way. Alabama is tackling debanking the right way. And we appreciate the sentiment here in South Carolina, but I think this is just not the right way to go about doing it.
And please correct me if I'm wrong, David, but as I understand it, I mean, we've got the guy who's championing this legislation. He's our own U.S. Senator from South Carolina, and Tim Scott. This is not something where he just said, yeah, I'll sign on to that. I mean, he's the one that introduced this thing. What is it called, the FIRM Act?
The FIRM Act, that's right. I mean, he introduced it. He's carrying it forward. He's carrying the water on it. It's a great piece of legislation, not only because it addresses the immediate problem of this government-backed or weaponized debanking. If this law passes, it's actually better than an executive order because it makes it permanent. So that way, you know, the policy won't seesaw back and forth between a Republican administration and a Democrat administration. You'll have something on the books that says this kind of weaponization of the financial regulatory system is just unacceptable. It's unlawful permanently going forward. So, yeah, as you noted, I mean, South Carolina, you know, you can support President Trump and what he's been doing in the White House to end this practice. And then your own senator is really carrying the water here. So, you know, again, it's duplicative. It's interesting, you know, South Carolina is, I think, one of the fastest growing state in the nation. It attracts talent, it attracts investment. It has a great regulatory environment that minimizes red tape, minimizes bureaucratic hurdles, you know, no unnecessary interference on business. And, you know, this is a little bit of out of character by going forward with this legislation. So, you know, respectfully, we understand the intent, but I just don't think if you look at the entire regulatory landscape and the impact that it's going to have on customers and small businesses and banks, that it's the right path forward.
So I got just a couple more things, David, and I appreciate you making time for me today. A couple more things I want to ask you about, because you're obviously here. You're at more of the grassroots level. You're in the state of South Carolina trying to say, hey, guys, what they're doing in Washington's not broken. Let them fix it. You know, not here. You don't need to be doing this. So I get that. My question is, what would you suggest or ask that our listeners here at The Point do to try to help? Is this one where you need to take action and have them call their senators?
I think so. I mean, I think that this would be a great situation where you would have some grassroots activism where, you know, people who are in the Senate and in the House could actually hear from their constituents and understand that, you know, they might be informed that this is something that is, you know, a positive development, but to hear from the actual constituents that this is going to have a negative impact on them, on their livelihoods. I think that's the kind of thing ultimately in a representative democracy is what kind of makes, makes the best kind of outcomes a result, right? I mean, people don't want less access to bank services. That's the opposite intention of this bill. And, you know, there are times when, states and localities have to weigh in to make sure that their constituents are, you know, protected and getting the best opportunity and the best services. This just is not it. As I said before, you know, there's a right way to tackle debanking and fair access, and there's the wrong way. And I think in the case of, you know, Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, other instances, it was the right way. And unfortunately, in South Carolina, this is just not the right way to move forward, you know. And I'd add, you know, in addition to lack of access or lessening access to bank services and the excess burden it's going to put on and the red tape it will put on businesses, you know, I don't think anyone in South Carolina, you know, is, you know, pro frivolous litigation, right? Or,
right.
You know, pro frivolous filings, you know, red tape, bureaucratic backlogs. And there's some stuff in this legislation, if your listeners want to, you know, look it up and see the details. There's very vague terminology here that describes, you know, certain kinds of banking activities, you know, lawful, unlawful. There's terms like adverse action that just aren't really well defined, and it would open up a lot of these banks in South Carolina to all kinds of complaints, to civil liability. It's really kind of a piece of legislation that, you know, that maybe the attorneys would be in favor of because they could file a lot of different complaints against the banks. But, you know, it's just going to overburden the banks themselves, and they'll pass that burden probably on to the customers, either via higher fees they'll be forced to or via fewer services. Because the risk will be too high for them, given the liability likelihood. So
sure.
There's just a lot of things that are wrong with this legislation. I encourage your listeners to kind of go to the American for Free Markets website and learn more about it. But definitely, you know, contacting their House and Senate representatives would be, you know, a good way to kind of stop this from moving forward.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of pushing the grassroots effort. So if we were to tell our listeners, David, in a sentence or two, when they email or they call their House and Senate members here, it's the South Carolina Guarantee Banking Act, and just tell them in one or two sentences what
they should say. You know, we support President Trump. We support Senator Tim Scott on addressing this issue. We don't want more bureaucratic red tape. We don't want more government interfering in our business and consumer lives and activities. That's just not the South Carolina way.
Yeah, good stuff. And two more things. One is I want to let folks know David has written a very good editorial on this, really good, explains it again and puts it into simple terms and helps us understand it. Really well written, David. And that's on our website now that you could find it, makethepointradio.com. It's up there, and you'll be able to take a look at it. I really think it's good work, and that's why I wanted to get it posted for everybody to find. And then if people do want to learn more about Americans for Free Markets, give us your website and let us know how we can help.
Sure. It's forfreemarkets.org. I encourage everyone to go and see the work that we're doing and get our updates and all our different resources. It would be great to have everyone kind of taking part in our mission of encouraging free markets and free opportunity and prosperity for all Americans.
Yeah, I signed up or connected with you guys on Twitter or X now, and I will tell you, you put out little updates, just quick little brief updates that I think are right straight to the point and excellent. So you can also follow the Americans for Free Markets on X and on social media. It's a very good idea to get that because you'll get the very latest information that's coming out. David, congratulations on the work you're doing. I appreciate you fighting the good fight. We'll do everything we can to help you on our end.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate you having me on.
It's a privilege to have you on. Thank you for the time and safe travels to you as you keep fighting the fight across the country.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks David, very much. David Ibsen joining us here on The Point on a Tuesday afternoon. Good stuff from him.